You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. In January this year, multiple expert opinions floated about the expectations from the interim union budget of 2019 within a limited fiscal space. Not much has changed since then. There are still concerns about small-scale industries dealing with debilitating tax burdens and a profusion of cesses, the rate of taxation under minimum alternate tax, that is MAT, and of course the question of whether or not the tax structure will be simplified for the benefit of all still continue to linger. So on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, in the run-up to the union budget, we will try and figure out just what issues Finance and Corporate Affairs Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's maiden budget will need to address to quell the rising unrest over a sluggish economy, and just how the slant of the budget will affect the common citizen. This is Digging Deeper with me, Rakesh Sharma, right here on Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
But first things first, who is going to be behind this year's budget? Sitharaman's budget team has Minister of State for Finance Anurag Singh Thakur and Chief Economic Advisor Krishnamurthy Subramanian. The official team is led by Finance Secretary Subhash Chandra Garg, Expenditure Secretary Girish Chandra Murmu, Revenue Secretary Ajay Bhushan Pandey, Deepam Secretary Otono Chakraborty, and Financial Services Secretary Rajiv Kumar. According to the Hindu Business Line, Sitharam kicked off consultations with agriculture experts and India Inc. to prepare for her maiden budget to be presented on the 5th of July. According to her, the concerns of the farm sector are high on the priority list of the government. One of the suggestions presented at the meeting was the need to improve the food processing sector and introduction of technology-intensive processes in the non-farm sector and treating solar energy as third crop to augment the income of farmers. Quoting from Business Line, incentivizing and popularizing usage of organic manure for improving carbon content in soil, resolving GST issues related to farmers producers organizations, that is FPO, incentives for agro-processing units in the border districts, and enhancing investments in research and development in the agriculture sector were also part of the suggestions. Other suggestions included filling up of vacancies in agricultural universities, increasing investment in micro-irrigation and solar pumps, financial incentives to the states for implementing agricultural market reforms, promotion of handlooms and handicrafts in the northeastern states for employment generation and enhancing rural income, creating of aggregators for farm equipment, and promotion of non-IT-related rural startups. Few suggestions for the dairy sector were also submitted related to tax and duty structure and improving Prime Minister Krishi Sinchai Yojana. The article further reported that India Inc. put forward suggestions concerning the industrial sector, land reforms, special economic zones, industrial policy, investment in research and development, simplification of tax regimes, tapping potential in tourism sector, and also made suggestions on FDI, that is foreign direct investment, goods and services tax, capital gains tax, corporate tax, MSME sector, e-commerce, skill development, education and healthcare sectors, startups, media and entertainment sector, and food manufacturing industry. But out of all of these things, from what we understand, from what has been reported, agriculture is going to retain the top priority in this year's budget, the very first one by Nirmala Sitharaman. In its submission, the CII also called for a simplified taxation regime besides other ideas for promoting growth and investment. Quoting from the Hindu Business Line, for this to fructify, a timeline for a taxation regime, that is direct tax, needs to be announced where the highest rate should be 18% in addition to removing all exemptions and not doing grandfathering, said President of CII Vikram S. Kirloskar. He also said a three-year roadmap for reducing the Income Tax Act document to 4 to 5 pages was also sought. Now, the piece further reported that in order to bring down the high tax rates on capital, which is a major deterrent for flow of capital, the CII president also suggested bringing down the dividend distribution tax to 10% from 20%. It should also not be taxed at the hands of the investor. It was mooted. On Money Control, on the 11th of June 2019, we underscored the same theme. The piece stated right at the onset, the message is loud and clear. India needs a paradigm shift in direct taxation. Will the government bite the bullet like it did for GST? Naveen Agarwal, partner and COO Tax at KPMG India, wrote in that piece, and I quote, 19 years into the 21st century and we are still following a tax law that is half a century old, a law that is now largely considered inadequate to cater to the demand of the 21st century India. So within a week into its second term, the government put the direct tax reforms firmly on top of its agenda, at the heart of which lies a new DTC, that is, Direct Tax Code. A new DTC has been in the works for almost a decade now, with lawmakers across the political spectrum recognizing the indispensable need for it. In fact, some of the provisions from the earlier avatar of the DTC, for example, GAAR, OM, that is POEM, and the like, even made their way into the existing law by way of certain amendments. However, the time for piecemeal amendments is behind us, and today's need is more for a holistic reform in the shape of a new code. Unquote. He explained how over the past few years we have seen certain directional changes which are perhaps precursors to the kind of reforms that we can expect in the DTC. Two clear cases in point are, number one, the progressive reduction of the corporate tax rates, and number two, the gradual phase out of tax holidays and weighted deductions. The challenge here was that they were being carried out in a phased manner, and the latter outpaced the former, causing hardships to the section of taxpayers concerned. So, what is his suggestion? Well, that DTC rejig the prevailing tax rate structure so as to make it a lot simpler. The base tax rate, he says, depends on the turnover of the company. Quoting from the Money Control piece, for example, for companies with turnover below 250 crore rupees in FY18, the base tax rate is 25% as per the Finance Act 2019, enacted in February this year. While the intent here is to benefit smaller companies, in effect, it results in an inequity in the tax structure, which penalizes high turnover companies for their size and performance. There is an urgent need for stronger inclusivity by reducing the rate to 25% across the board for all categories of companies. Unquote. He also believes that minimum alternate tax, that is MAT rate of 18.5% on book profits of a company, is another area which requires close scrutiny if our corporate tax rate structure has to be simplified. He wrote, and I quote, with the gradual phasing out of tax incentives, the difference in taxable profits and book profits is going to shrink. Furthermore, the progressive reduction of corporate tax rates and an increase in MAT, that is minimum alternate tax rate, over the years has bridged the gap between the two rates considerably. Given this backdrop, a careful consideration must be given to the merit in the continuance of MAT in the new DTC. Unquote. Dividend distribution tax is payable by companies on dividends distributed to shareholders from profits which have already been subjected to tax, adding yet another layer of tax obligation imposed on companies. In case of cross-border payments, certain jurisdictions do not permit credit to the foreign shareholder in respect of this DDT, as it is not a tax directly borne by them. Therefore, abolition of DDT and taxation of dividends at the shareholders' end will be a much simpler system, and it is likely to take a huge compliance burden off the companies. One of the biggest concerns of the current Indian tax regime, according to Naveen Agarwal, has been litigation. According to him, the Direct Tax Code needs to take a good hard look at the causes of this litigation and find commensurate solutions. In the past, the Indian Revenue Authorities, that is the IRA, have withdrawn cases from various appellate forums in view of the increased monetary limits for filing appeals. There have also been instances where the IRA has accepted decisions of lower courts on certain issues, sparing the tax spares the hardships of a long-drawn litigation. But as he wrote, and I quote, however, we still find ourselves staring at backlogs of tax cases in courts across India. Clearly, the issue is not just about a certain monetary threshold or dispute on certain tax issues. It is systemic and runs a lot deeper. The DTC needs to put in place a framework that makes the process of appeal filing by the IRA far more rigorous and accountable than what it is today. An appeal cannot be mechanically filed just because the IRA lost and the tax effect breaches a certain threshold. It should be based on a critical evaluation of the issues involved and the reasons provided by the appellate authority for ruling against the IRA. DTC must institutionalize a process to this effect. There are, of course, a number of cases where the main cause of litigation is a conflicting but bona fide interpretation of the legal provisions. For such cases, a possible resolution could be to have appropriate guidance which adequately clarifies the intent of the legislature. This would, of course, be in addition to ensuring that the provisions are simple and unambiguous. These measures should provide sufficient clarity on the intent of the law and prevent incremental litigation. Unquote. Finally, of course, there is need to ramp up the age-old assessment process. The concept of anonymous e-assessments provides a great opportunity to the government to introduce such a change. Here, the assessments will be largely faceless as they will be carried out by back-end teams with sufficient sector knowledge in addition to their tax expertise. This should go a long way in ensuring a better appreciation of sector-specific issues and their corresponding tax implications. That is his opinion. However, he also believes that if this novel idea has to work, it needs a lot of legislative muscle. At present, there seems to be a gap, he thinks, between the vision of anonymous e-assessments and the current set of laws. As he concluded, this gap needs to be bridged by enacting new assessment laws and issuing detailed guidelines for execution. Simultaneously, the government must spruce up its IT infrastructure to make sure that there are no technological challenges in on-ground implementation of this idea. On the 17th of June 2019, India Today posted a piece and tried to simplify the jargon by explaining just what a union budget represents. The Union Budget 2019-2020 will be, it said, a detailed report on the country's financial plan, including details of total revenue and expenditure. As we know, the budget document, prepared by the Ministry of Finance in consultation with other ministries and experts, lists all fresh or existing estimated allocations over a period of 1 year. The piece outlines how just a day before the full budget will be announced, an economic survey will be tabled by the government. The economic survey is a summary of all the economic development or progress in the country and acts as an indicator for accurately preparing the budget. The piece went on to note that not many changes are expected in the government's full budget as the government seems to be repeatedly stating its goal of maintaining fiscal balance. Quoting from India Today, Nirmala Sitharaman could make some exceptions based on recently held consultations to boost some ailing sectors that need urgent attention. Income tax rules could be further tweaked as it is one of the most popular demands among taxpayers in the country. The government could also increase the tax benefit limit under 80C of the Income Tax Act. An increase in the limit of tax exemption under Section 80C could benefit people with existing home loans. There are high chances that Nirmala Sitharaman would make an announcement regarding tax benefits for first-time home buyers. Unquote. And as multiple news sources have reported, the budget will have to address various issues like the slowing economy, rising NPAs, job creation, and of course the agrarian crisis, without compromising on fiscal prudence. Business Standard this morning reported how, ahead of the maiden budget of his second term in office, the Prime Minister brainstormed with top bureaucrats of finance and other ministries to finalise the government's 100-day agenda with a focus to revive the sagging economy and create jobs. Sources said the meeting at the Prime Minister's residence had in attendance all five secretaries in the Finance Ministry and other key ministries, as well as top officials of the Niti Aayog. The high-level meeting was also expected to clear a five-year vision for the government with the view to achieve a $5 trillion economy goal in the shortest possible time frame. It is believed, according to the Business Standard, that the future course of many of the Prime Minister's pet projects like doubling farmers' income, PM Kisan, Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, piped water for all, electricity for all and others was discussed. With the farm sector facing headwinds, the report said that the government understands the need for structural reforms in agriculture which would boost private investment, strengthen logistics and provide ample market support to farmers. It goes without saying, and as the report also stated, the agenda will have to address the need to increase revenue mop-up and taking reform steps to push GDP growth, which has slipped to a five-year low of 6.8% in 2018-2019. Business Standard said, and I quote, data showed that even though inflation continued to be within the RBI's comfort range, economic growth in the January to March quarter slumped to a five-year low of 5.8%, pushing India behind China due to poor showing by agriculture and manufacturing sectors. The other issues that the budget, according to the piece, will have to address, apart from the slowing economy, will be financial sector troubles like rising NPAs and the liquidity crisis in NBFCs, job creation, private investments, exports revival, agrarian crisis, besides raising public investment without compromising on fiscal prudence. As is common knowledge, a labor survey report released officially last month showed unemployment touching a 45-year high of 6.1% in 2017-2018. As news sources reported earlier, to make the budget more participative and inclusive, the government had sought inputs from citizens on the government's mygov.in portal by the 20th of June. A Bloomberg report published only yesterday said that the government may raise income tax threshold in the budget to revive the economy, and that there is also a possibility of raising tax exemption, like I stated earlier, under Section 80C from the existing 1.5 lakh rupees. Quoting from Bloomberg, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman may raise the tax exemption limit for working age individuals to 3 lakh rupees of their annual income, up from the current 2.5 lakh rupees, the people said, asking not to be identified as they are not authorized to speak publicly about the proposals. The tax measures haven't been finalized yet. Any tax exemptions will add stimulus to an economy that slowed sharply this year, with growth reaching a five-year low of 5.8% in the first 3 months of the year. The proposed tax move would put at least 2,500 crore rupees more in the hands of each of India's 50 million taxpayers. It could also add to pressure on the budget deficit, which is pegged at 3.4% of GDP for the current fiscal year that began on the 1st of April. The Finance Ministry is also looking at raising the tax exemption limit for savings and investments made under the so-called Section 80C of the Income Tax Law. The ceiling is currently set at 1.5 lakh rupees.
The Deep Dive Podcast Series.
Well, in the end, the complexity of all the number crunching boils down to one thing. Just how will the budget affect the quality of everyday life of the Indian citizen who, beyond the political rhetoric, just wants to benefit from a stable economy where the concerns of everyone, and not just a few, get addressed? Roti, kapda, makan, bijli, internet and swasthya. This is all that the population needs, and here is hoping that the government's 100-day plan and the first budget of its second regime will aim to deliver just those things.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.